The role of Lieutenant Tavel is now being played by Stephanie Knox. Also, the role of Lieutenant Gazik will be played by Clayton Warden.
He inspired me to find a way to get in the way. And I got in trouble. Good trouble. Necessary trouble.
Previously on Starship Resilience.
In the 26th century.
Permission to come aboard.
Granted, Captain Moore. Welcome to the Resilience.
Has Captain Kolon mentioned what he plans to do with his retirement?
Last I heard, he was going to return to Teller Prime for a season. I'm not sure beyond that.
Commander Strong, I've spoken with Captain Kolon.
No, I don't seem to remember.
And Dr. Gnarly.
No, I don't believe so. Should I?
Surely, as a Vulcan, you must remember me.
I do not believe so. Sir, from where should I have known you?
The four of us served on the Maelstrom together 20 years ago, under then-Captain Kogalan.
But before you take off for the Resilience, I do have a mission for you.
When are you going to tell me what's in that thing?
That is a conversation for another time, Lieutenant.
Captain Tom Cullen, may I present Captain Nick Moore?
A pleasure, Captain. I'm anxious to get started. I still have some packing to do. Computer, transfer all command codes to Captain Nicholas J. Moore. Voice authorization colon iota 379.
Transfer complete. USS Resilience is now under the command of Captain Nicholas J. Moore.
I relieve you, sir.
I stand relieved. I had wanted to see this one more time before I left the ship.
Senior officer should never be in relationship with crew member as they command.
Not if it means jeopardizing my command or my relationship with a trusted friend and officer.
And now, episode 2, Umbrae Mortis.
Captain on the bridge.
As you were, at ease.
Sir. It's 0710 hours. Would you like the night shift report?
No thank you, Lieutenant. I'm here to get stuff sorted out in the ready room. Commander Terrego will be here in an hour. You can give the report to her.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
If you don't mind my asking, You look a little young to be in command of the Night Watch. How long have you been in the rotation, Lieutenant?
Lieutenant Maisha Baker, sir. Chief Engineer's Assistant. I've been in command of the night shift for 8 months now.
Okay. Well, Maisha, forgive me, but where are you from?
Sir?
I'm only asking because I'm picking up hints of an accent that doesn't seem to quite fit. You're Orion, correct?
Yes, sir. My heritage is Orion, sir. However, I was adopted very young and grew up on Earth. So you're probably hearing that, sir.
Okay, that must be it. I assume then that your adoptive family was named Baker.
Yes, sir. Most people call me Lieutenant Maisha, sir.
Okay. Lieutenant Maisha it is. Nice to meet you, Lieutenant.
And to you as well, sir.
Lieutenant, may I give you a piece of free advice?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Take it easy on the number of times you put the word sir in a sentence. I know I'm the captain, but too many starts to sound like you're sucking up after a while.
Suck up, sir? Ah, yes. Rest assured, sir, that no attempt to suck up was intended. I was merely trying to follow logical protocols given that you are my superior officer, sir. Captain.
That's better, Lieutenant. Keep working on it. You'll get the hang of it soon.
Yes, sir.
Well, as you were, Lieutenant Maisha.
Aye, sir. Maintain course and speed, Helm.
First day on the job, and my office is a blank slate. Let's see. Which item needs to go out first? Yeah. This one. This needs to be the first thing on the desk. A picture of the best parents in the galaxy. No, that's not right. This needs to go over on the other side of the desk. That way you can see the stars, Mom. Perfect.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Resilience. Our mission? To explore new mysteries and new horizons. To seek out new friends and new wonders. To stand firm against whatever the universe throws at us.
Am I interrupting, Captain?
Huh? What? It's a work in progress.
If you say so, sir.
What time is it?
Hmm. 8:58 hours. The senior staff will be here soon.
Oh, well. I guess I'll finish this later. I'm so glad you are all able to join me here on such short notice. After exhaustive research and following a trail of clues, I am finally able to say with absolute certainty that I know who the murderer is, and they are in this room.
If there has been a murder on board, Captain, security should have been notified right away.
Yes, I must agree. Ship security needs to be informed when a homicide has occurred. Starfleet is clear
on this. Okay. There was no murder. I was trying to break the ice. It was a joke. And apparently not a very funny one.
That much is certain.
Tell you what. Let's just move on with the meeting. Commander Strawn, why don't you start us off with an engineering update?
The warp engines are currently functioning at 99.8% efficiency. There had been minor fluctuation in some of the plasma relays, but those have since been repaired.
Sick bay is nearly empty. We have one patient with the Ankaran flu who's on day 3 of treatment. Also, Lieutenant Kashkari had her baby, a healthy boy, 35 centimeters long and 3.5 kilograms.
Oh, good. I'll need to stop by and offer my congratulations. Jokoth, how are things looking in the science department?
Slow at the moment, sir. Stellar cartography has been picking up some resonant waves off a red giant, but so far is nothing unusual.
Commander Vec?
The ship is secure. Preparedness drills with the crew have them at an overall 90% preparedness.
Good, I like to hear that. I would like to see, though, if we can get the preparedness up to 95%.
Aye, sir.
Lieutenant Colt, how is the helm doing?
The helm seems to have a slight misalignment of the navigational sensors. It appears to be 0.2% variance. If I could get someone to look at it?
I can have someone check it out. The operations team is looking good. No significant issues to report, sir.
Great to hear, Gazik. Way to step up and be a team player. Counselor, how's the crew holding up?
I'm not sure.
Really? Why is that?
It would appear this crew has not had a ship's counselor for some time, so it will take some time to gain their trust to the point where they feel free to speak with me.
Your services may go unused, Counselor. Captain Colon didn't think it necessary to have a counselor on board. The crew believes it more important to work things out for themselves, without emotional blubbering about their lives.
I would certainly hope not. Repressing emotions for long periods of time can be a hindrance to positive mental health. And it can have lasting effects on the crew's efficiency.
It's interesting you would say that, since you clearly know nothing about mastering your emotions.
People! This kind of talk will not help anyone. And it's certainly not how senior officers should be addressing one another.
I apologize, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Commander Chirega, how's the ship?
No significant issues to report, sir.
Okay, moving on to new business.
Starfleet has chosen us for a huge honor. With the destruction of Romulus nearly 150 years ago, and the subsequent relocation of thousands of Romulan citizens to Vulcan, Starfleet believes it may be time to start putting in the work to develop a Federation cloaking device. The Resilience has been chosen as the first large-scale test subject.
Sir, what about the Treaty of Alderaan?
A good question, Commander. I'm glad you asked. Starfleet Intelligence believes, before long, what's left of the Romulan Empire will become a relic of the past. There are currently several full Romulans attending Starfleet Academy. This number is only expected to grow. Therefore, if and when the Empire collapses under the weight of not having Romulus and Remus around to hold central power, and all the refugees it's created, the treaty will be nullified, which will pave the way for Starfleet vessels to begin using cloaking devices on a regular basis. Thoughts?
Did Starfleet say when we would have a device ready for testing?
Another good question. Thank you, Lieutenant. In Cargo Bay 3, you will find container 216 under guard. The device is in there. Lieutenant Colt and I brought it with us from the Intrepid. Feel free to run as many simulations as you feel necessary.
Did Starfleet provide any information as to how we are to connect it into our systems?
Way ahead of you, Commander. Everything you need to know is right here. Additionally, if you have any questions, you can reach out to Dr. Crenshaw at the Daystrom Institute. She's been working very closely with the Starfleet Corps of Engineers to develop this prototype.
Very good, sir. I am familiar with Dr. Crenshaw's body of work. No doubt, she has planned for every conceivable scenario.
Now, in order to protect populated worlds of the Federation from the tests and to keep things quiet, we will be rendezvousing with the Zelensky near the Barrens. There, we will be conducting the trials with the cloak, and the Zelensky will evaluate the effectiveness of the device. Any questions? Excellent. Commander Strawn, I will expect to see hourly status reports on your tests. Lieutenant Colt, set course for the Barrens, Warp 5.
Aye, sir.
If there are no other concerns or questions, you are dismissed. Commander Chirega, would you remain for a moment? Well, that could have gone worse.
I have attended worse meetings.
Am I mistaken, or was there an issue with Strawn and Tavel?
I was not aware they knew each other.
As far as I know, they don't. I mean, it must have been my imagination, or was there an underlying tension in the room?
Sir?
If Strawn wasn't a Vulcan, I would swear he was taking Kolon's retirement and my taking command very personally.
It's not something I've heard, but I will keep my ears open.
And here's something I don't understand. Strawn, and even Dr. Narlin, for that fact, have enough experience that they could have been in command of their own ships long ago. Yet, they're still here, doing work which, frankly, is beneath them.
I can't speak about Dr. Narlin's views on the situation. However, I can say Strawn has expressed himself to me that he has a duty to this ship. I asked him about it once, but he refused to explain himself further, so I didn't pursue it.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes and ears open for anything strange. I see you're admiring my decorating. See anything you like?
Are these your parents?
Yes. Yes, it is. Married on February 14th, 2482. 53 years together and going strong.
A very honorable amount of time, worthy of song. A bond much like Kallus and Lucara.
What is that?
That? It's a shield.
Are you expecting combat?
What? No. No, nothing like that. It's what they call a collectible. A piece of memorabilia. Don't you have fandoms in Klingon culture?
My father once had a tooth which belonged to Chancellor Martok.
Okay. Well, it's something like that. Starting back in the 20th century, Earth had a period of hero worship. These were people who were gifted with powers from the divine. Through either an evolutionary process, some were the result of an accident. In some cases, a few of these superpowered beings were aliens from other worlds who were completely normal on their home planets, but when they arrived on Earth, they got all these superpowers. And there was a small percentage of these people who, frankly, had no powers of their own. They were just lucky enough to be born rich and had all kinds of money, so they could invent or buy whatever it was they needed to be a hero.
Which type of hero was the owner of the shield?
Well, his story's a little different. His name was Steve Rogers. His power was the result of a government experiment to make super soldiers who could help fight their great enemy at the time.
Like genetic manipulations on Earth in the 21st century to create augments?
Very similar. His story came out when Earth was involved in World War II. He was created to help fight the ruthless fascist enemy intent on taking over the world and wiping out millions of people in horrible ways. And then in the 21st century, he had a resurgence in popularity because of the rise of the fascist ideals, which led to the Second American Civil War, the Eugenics War, and then eventually the Third World War.
Have you always kept it in your office?
No, not always. It normally hung on the wall in my quarters. When I was reassigned to the Resilience, I thought it was time it got an upgrade. Steve Rogers was a captain, so I figured we could share the office together. One of the things I like about him is the fact that he was chosen for the government experiment because his heart and his intentions were inherently good. The scientist who developed the drugs used in the process realized these drugs would cause a side effect where a person's ambitions were multiplied. So some of the people that were rejected were either bullies or they just wanted to be chosen for the honor, whereas Captain Rogers just wanted to protect his homeland and his friends.
That is a most honorable endeavor. I will have to look up Captain Rogers' logs.
Well, not actually. They should be in the ship's computer under popular literature.
Gazig to Captain Moore.
Moore here. Go ahead, Lieutenant.
Sir, you're receiving a priority message from Starfleet Command.
Go ahead and route it through to the ready room, Gazig.
Aye, sir.
Admiral, what an unexpected surprise. I believe you know my first officer, Commander Chiregadoth.
Hello, Captain. Commander. Nick, I'm afraid I have some sad news. You might want to sit down.
Ship status?
All systems are nominal. We are on course to the Barrens at warp 5.
Very good. Maintain course and speed.
All hands, this is the captain. Moments ago, I spoke with Admiral Kogalin, who informed me that Captain Kolon has died as a result of a transporter accident returning to his home on Teller Prime. The incident is still under investigation, but authorities believe there was a power surge at the time of transport which caused a malfunction. The Admiral has asked that I convey his condolences to the crew of the Resilience. I too would like to offer my deepest condolences at the loss of a fine officer and captain. I know he would want you to reflect on your times together and to remember the good times. To that end, I've asked Tony to run Captain Colon's favorite lounge program tonight, starting at 1800 hours. Everyone is invited to stop by and share their favorite story of the captain. Moving forward, I would like to remind you Ship's Counselor Tavel is available if you feel you need to speak with someone. Department heads, be sure to communicate with the First Officer about crew readiness. I know this news comes as a blow to many of you, but Captain Colon would want us to press forward and to continue the work we have to do. As I receive updates regarding the investigation, I will be passing them on to you. For now, remember that we are strong. We are the crew of the Resilience, and nothing is going to keep us down. More out.
Oh my God. I can't believe he's gone. Poor Captain Colon. His poor family.
It is most unfortunate.
Unfortunate? Oh, is that the proper choice of words right now, Mesha?
It is unfortunate that he will not be able to enjoy his retirement.
Unfortunate? Mesha, he's dead!
That is why it is unfortunate. I fail to understand how our being sad will make him any less deceased.
I forget sometimes, Mesha, that you may look like a normal person, but you don't act like it. I get that you found logic or embraced it, or whatever the hell you call it, but that was downright cold. I thought you of all people would understand losing someone you love. Guess I was wrong.
Is there a problem, Lieutenant?
There wasn't, until Lieutenant Fry was overcome with emotions and stormed away. It was most illogical.
It was actually very logical, student.
Really? How so, Commander?
Much like how the Prime Directive limits interaction with lesser developed worlds, the same is also true of logic. Many species do not embrace logic. Chief among them are humans, which includes Lieutenant Fry. At this particular time, she is experiencing the quite logical emotion for grief, as a human would experience it. Her feelings are raw at the moment, due to the wound she has received from the news of Captain Colon. Therefore, it is incumbent on us who embrace logic to allow them to express their feelings. We must hold back our talk of logic for a time, to allow them room to heal. Do you understand?
I believe so, sir. In the same way the Federation will not admit a new world until it has resolved its internal disputes, we must hold back our logical reactions to allow humans to express themselves emotionally in times of grief.
Very good, Lieutenant.
What are we to do now, Commander?
There is very little we are able to do. At this point, things have begun to change on this ship. Many of the crew will turn to this new ship's counselor, and the crew will be even more emotional than before.
That is most unfortunate, Commander.
Indeed.
More to Counselor Tavel.
Tavel here. Captain, is everything all right?
Yes, everything's all right, Counselor. I just wanted to let you know you might want to expect some business soon.
Yes, I heard what happened. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Lieutenant Fry to Counselor Tavel?
That's good to know, Captain. And thank you for the heads up. I will need to get back with you later.
Understood. More out.
Tavel here. Lieutenant, how can I assist you?
Hi, Counselor. I was wondering...
What was that, Lieutenant?
I didn't think it would be this hard, you know?
I'm guessing you are referring to the news about Captain Colon. Would you like some help sorting out your feelings?
Yes. That would be great, thank you.
It is not a problem, Lieutenant. My door is always open. Give me about 15 minutes, and we can meet. Does that work for you?
That sounds great, Counselor. Thank you.
Any time.
Lieutenant Kishgari to Counselor Tavel.
I'll see you soon, Lieutenant. Tavel out. This is Tavel. Go ahead, Lieutenant. Computer, cold water, please. Computer, hit me again. Lieutenant Major to Commander Strahn.
Strahn here. Yes, Lieutenant.
Sir, I was wondering if you had plans to attend the memorial for the captain tonight.
I had not considered going. That sort of festivity is not one in which I would choose to take part. Are you in need of something, Lieutenant?
Actually, I was wondering if you were available. I could really use time to meditate. The emotions of the crew are weighing on me.
Very well, Lieutenant. Give me 10 minutes to prepare, and we can meditate.
Thank you, sir. Mesha out. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
Whoa, careful! Are you all right, Lieutenant?
What? I'm fine, sir. I just got lightheaded.
That was a nasty fall. You might want to see the doctor, just to make sure you're okay.
It's been an emotionally taxing day, sir. I'm on my way to Commander Strand's quarters to meditate. I will be okay.
At least allow me to escort you. That way I can make sure you make it okay.
Very well. If you insist, sir.
If I had to guess, I would say you've been practicing Vulcan meditation for quite some time. That's a very ornate robe.
I've been doing it regularly for the last 5 years. Before that, on and off for 8 years prior to that.
That is a long time. I don't know many non-Vulcans who have the patience to study it for that long. You must have gotten very good at it.
Well, I'm not going to be doing any neck pinches, if you are concerned about that. Deck 6.
So tell me, what was it that interested you in meditation?
It started when I turned 13. That's the age when Orion females' pheromones start to kick in. My parents knew I wanted to join Starfleet, so they decided meditation would be best to help control the pheromones, so I wouldn't be disruptive. Also,
It helps me maintain control over my emotions. Perhaps one day I will be as skilled as Commander Strahn. This is my stop. I should be fine from here, Captain. Thank you for seeing me this far.
Wait, I don't think that's how meditation works.
Enter.
Greetings, Commander. Live long and prosper.
You honor me, my student. Shall we begin?
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. If you don't mind, I would like to say a few words before we begin, so if you go ahead and have a seat. Several days ago, I was given the honor of being promoted to captain and told that I would be taking command of the USS Resilience. This was quite an honor. At the time, I knew that I would eventually one day have to give an address just like this. However, in my wildest dreams, I never would have imagined that it would be within the first 24 hours of my command. And yet, here we are. Captain Tum Kolan had an exemplary career in Starfleet. He was a member of the Academy class of 2483, specializing in security. I served with him briefly for a period of time on the USS Maelstrom, where he was promoted to the head of security. Over his career, he captained 5 ships and had 2 first contact situations. He was a devoted family man. He and his wife were married 48 years and raised 3 sons and a daughter. His daughter and one of his sons both went into Starfleet following in their father's footsteps. They are having banner careers of their very own. Another son joined the diplomatic corps. His third son married, had several kids, and is currently a stay-at-home dad. It has been said that the measure of a person's life is in the dash between the day they are born and the day they die. Captain Kolan managed to fill that dash with many things: a successful career, a loving wife, a family, and a myriad of friends. I would add that one of the truest measures of a person is the people who gather to remember them when they are gone. And judging from the group gathered here tonight, I would have to say that Captain Kolan was one hell of a man. If you would please join me in a toast to Captain Kolan.
Captain Kolan!
And now, if you would please rise to attention. Tony, 8 bells. Thank you all again for coming. And now, without further ado, Captain Kolon's favorite lounge program, the Speakeasy.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a...
That was a very moving speech. I believe Captain Kolon would have enjoyed that.
Nick has come a long way when it comes to public speaking. It used to terrify him. And I know he would hate if he knew I was telling you that, Commander.
Really? You never would have guessed. It was very eloquent.
Yeah. It might have taken him a while to figure it out, but he's got a silver tongue.
Silver tongue?
Old Earth expression. Means he's someone who can really move people with his words. Nick seems to have moments of skill followed by moments of sheer failure. Tragic, really.
It sounds like it. But I'm curious, how well do you know the captain?
I would think fairly well. We were both on the Intrepid for the last few years. And why do I think you may have had another reason for asking that question?
You just seem pretty familiar with him and his mannerisms. Plus, you have twice referred to him as Nick in casual conversation.
Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And you know, that's not allowed under the Uniform Code of Conduct.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
Okay, when I was an ensign, he took me under his wing and helped me out. I started out on the Enterprise and had a miserable time. When I transferred to the Intrepid, he was the chief helm officer. He helped me out to get my career back on track. Since then we have been close.
Close?
Yes.
Close as in intimate?
What? Ew! No!
Like siblings?
Gross. No! More like, I am his sister's hot friend.
So he has a sister?
No, it's a metaphor.
I see.
Look, Nick... the captain is one of those people who doesn't like fraternizing with people under his command. So, we've managed to just stay really good friends. That's all. Nothing weird or sexual. Yes, I know his parents, and I've met several of his ex-girlfriends. But that's it. Nothing weird.
If you say so, Lieutenant.
What about you, Commander?
What about me?
Do you have anyone special in your life?
It's complicated.
I understand. Putting your career ahead of relationship takes a toll.
It certainly can.
You know what? Back on the Intrepid, I had a group of ladies who would meet regularly for drinks and to be a means of support. What do you say?
What kind of support?
Whatever you needed. Career, relationships, whatever helps you.
I guess.
Oh, trust me, it will be fun.
Excuse me, sir. Commander?
Hello, Commander Vec.
Good evening, Lieutenant Colt.
Commander Vec, what can I do for you?
I wanted to let you know I have the results from our last training sessions. There has been some marked improvements. I think you will be very pleased.
Very good, Commander. I will check back with you at a later time regarding those.
Excellent. Look forward to that meeting. Have a good rest of your evening, Commander. Lieutenant.
Thank you, Commander.
You too, Commander Vec. Can I give you some advice, Commander?
And what would that be?
When I said that the captain doesn't believe in having a relationship with someone under his command, I think it's only fair to warn you that he believes that the same rule applies to everyone on his ship as well. So if you were involved with someone under your command, you might want to extricate yourself from the entanglement, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Perhaps you are right.
You seemed to struggle much this evening, pupil. Your emotions betray you. Please explain.
Please forgive me, teacher. The emotions of the day are still clouding my thoughts. It is making it hard to focus.
I maintain that a distracted mind absorbs nothing deeply, and each distraction imposes a hefty cost on your focus.
You're right. I will try harder.
Perhaps we should attempt to discover the root of the distraction. Tell me, what hinders your focus?
I'm not entirely sure. Everyone's reactions to the death of the captain. That was difficult news, and I don't blame others for having their emotions. I may have chosen a different path with my emotions, but that makes me neither greater nor lesser than them.
Remember that you have chosen the enlightened path. The words of Sorok lead us, as Taplana Hoth said.
Logic is the cement of our civilization, with which we ascend from chaos, using reason as our guide.
Very good, protege. Let us return to meditation.
Sir?
Yes, Meisha.
May I ask you a question?
You may.
Our new captain.
Yes. What about him?
What are your thoughts on him?
I fail to see where this is more important than meditation.
You're right, teacher. My apologies. It is just that, up until the announcement of Captain Colin's death, I couldn't get Captain Moore out of my thoughts. I mean, at first, I thought he was kind of cute, in an older human male sort of way. But then he attempted that joke during the staff meeting. It was awkward, and I could see where he might have been humorous. Then his announcement about Colin, and I could hear the compassion and empathy in his voice.
You have let your thoughts wander about undisciplined today, pupil. When your thoughts wander, they tend to find emotions. It is no wonder you are in turmoil tonight. We need to focus.
Absolutely.
But what?
I would like to hear your thoughts on our new captain, please.
Very well. He has spent the last several years as the first officer of the Intrepid, so he is familiar with the design and capabilities of the Drexler-class starship. This will bode well for the engineering teams. He will be less likely to push the ship beyond safety margins. But he is young, relatively speaking. At only 44 years of age, by Vulcan standards, he is still wet behind the ears. To borrow a human expression, he still has a great deal to learn about leading a crew on a starship. As for the puerile attempt at humor, it shows an insecurity which desperately needs to be liked by others. It's a deeply seated problem he should root out before it begins to affect his command. Beyond that, like many of his race, they have a fundamental character flaw which they believe is a source of strength for them. However, it is this very thing which makes humans like Captain Moore weak.
What character flaw is that?
Empathy is the fundamental character flaw of human civilization.
Isn't that just being able to emotionally understand how someone feels, and a willingness to help them?
That is what they would like to think. When in reality, they end up going along with whatever group feels they're being oppressed by the majority. All this does is slow down progress and limits innovations.
But doesn't the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one?
Logically, it does. However, in these situations, the few or the one are putting their needs ahead of the many, to the point where it is a net negative for the overall society. The needs of the many outweighing the needs of the few or the one is an act of selflessness. Whereas the needs of the one or the few outweighing the needs of the many is a deliberate act of selfishness. An underclass of people throughout the Federation who do nothing for anyone but themselves is what we have at the current time. This is what human empathy has given the Federation.
I see. Apologies, teacher.
Apologies are not necessary. Let us return to meditating.
This is fascinating.
I take it they don't have very many jazz speakeasies on Vulcan.
What did you call it? A speakeasy?
Speakeasy. Written as a single word. They became quite popular in America during the era known as Prohibition. This was a time when the government enacted a law prohibiting the production and consumption of alcohol throughout the country. To further complicate matters, authorities attempted to thwart illegal profits by adding harmful chemicals to industrial alcohol, making it unsafe for consumption. Tragically, many people suffered and lost their lives as a result. Ultimately, however, some resourceful individuals took initiative and capitalized on the situation, making considerable profits once the law was eventually repealed.
Fascinating. So, what is the point of this speakeasy?
This particular one is the pet store speakeasy. From the outside, it looks like a normal pet store. It's what they called a front, sort of like a mask. But for people who knew the right password, they could come in, get a drink, and relax.
So they had other fronts than this pet store?
That's right, because alcohol was illegal at the time. They couldn't sell it in the open. If the police showed up, it could be turned back into a pet store at a moment's notice.
Are you both enjoying yourselves?
What do you think of the speakeasy, Commander?
This was the type of place Captain Colon really enjoyed. They have similar places to this on Kronos, but the animals are not pets.
I have to say, this is a lot better than what my family does when someone dies.
What does your family do, Lieutenant?
It's called Sitting Shiva, and it involves 7 days of sitting around while people come over and tell you how sorry they are that your loved one has died. The worst part is there's no mirrors allowed for 7 days. Brutal.
Because if there's one thing Mia likes, it's looking at herself. Are you ladies having fun?
We were just talking about family rituals regarding the death of a loved one. What kind of traditions does your family observe when there's a close death, Captain?
Ooh, that's a tough one. When someone in my family dies, friends usually bring over homemade dishes, so we have food, and no one has to cook. Mostly casseroles. Everyone talks about how much of a saint the person was when they were alive, no matter how much of a bastard they were in reality. Then in the end, we all eat. To be honest, it's complicated.
Casserole?
I'll explain later, love.
Commander, could I talk with you for a moment, please, in private?
How can I be of assistance, Captain?
I'm not really sure. I just had what felt like a very strange conversation with that engineering lieutenant, Mesha. What do you know about her?
I must admit, not much. She keeps to herself, or often she's in the company of Commander Strawn.
Well, I just saved her from face-planting on the deck outside of her quarters. She was wearing a very ornate Vulcan ceremonial meditation robe. And she is Orion, right?
Correct.
Look, I'm not one to judge another person's philosophy or religion of choice, but for a non-Vulcan being fully dedicated to the teachings of Serac can be mentally dangerous. It's really only the Vulcans who have been able to do it safely.
There are many who follow an abbreviated form of the ways of Serac, although those forms tend to be less mentally taxing.
True. It just seems as though somehow she thought she could purge her emotions. And it seemed as though she had a very odd idea of what the benefits of meditation really were. Before I could say anything, we had reached her stop and she darted out the turbo lift.
Was there something in particular you were concerned about?
I'm not quite sure. There were a few things which didn't seem right. And I wanted to get the perspective of someone who's been on the ship a lot longer. What about her and Strawn? Has there ever been any reports of something going on between them other than meditation?
No, there have been no such rumors, Captain. The commander is married with several children and grandchildren. He and his wife recently celebrated 8 years of marriage.
Okay. It just still feels off to me. Do me a favor. Could you keep your eyes and ears open in case anything is going on with them? Something just doesn't feel right.
Aye, sir.
Your technique has improved, Lieutenant. You have been practicing.
Thank you, Commander.
But it would seem as though you are holding back. What is troubling you?
I wish I was Vulcan, so I could purge myself of my emotions.
To envy someone for their natural abilities is illogical. Having an emotional response because someone else is able to control their emotions is also illogical.
Since hearing about the captain's death, I felt as though a geisha were preparing to burst in my chest. Like a jet of emotions I wouldn't be able to control. I struggled to get through the day and nearly broke down on my way to my quarters.
Perhaps it is time for me to help you rebuild your control.
I think that might help, teacher.
I must have your thoughts. My mind. To your mind. Your thoughts. My thoughts.
Our thoughts are one. And that is why this guy is not allowed back at that hotel on Risa.
Oh, I should have known you would tell that story when you started out with, "You guys want to hear something that happened on Risa?"
Did they ever get the stain out?
No, actually. They ended up having to re-carpet the room and the hallway on that floor. and they had to replace the ice machine. It was a total loss.
I must say, this has been quite an evening. I learned so much about you, Captain Moore. Thank you, Mia.
Why do I feel like I'm going to end up an object lesson in someone's counseling session?
You need not worry about that, Captain. Even though I have inherited from my mother the Kuat Milot adherence to the ideals of total candor, I would never use an embarrassing story in a counseling session without the person's permission.
Well, thank you, Counselor.
The amusing aspect of the story aside, I don't see where your poor choices and their inevitable conclusions could be beneficial to anyone, unless they are worried about their bad decisions preventing them from one day having a starship command of their own.
Ouch! That hurt.
Sir, I did not mean to offend. I was merely pointing out...
You didn't offend me, Lieutenant. I came to terms a long time ago that there were going to be times in my life where I was meant to serve as a warning to others. Unfortunately, I have the soon-to-be Ensign cult to remind me and keep me humble. So, don't sweat it, Tavel. I'm not offended.
Well, I have an early shift tomorrow.
Yeah, I had better call it a night. My new boss is a real ogre about being at my post on time. He might throw me in the brig if I'm late.
You're damn right.
I shall join you. I have some personal correspondence which needs my attention.
Have a good night. Commander, what would you say to another round?
I would not object.
Tony, two more if you please.
Certainly, Captain.
This was certainly a good idea. I believe Captain Cullen would approve. My compliments, Tony.
Thank you, Commander. I'm not sure what it was about this particular configuration he liked, but it always seemed to bring him joy. I'll be right back with the drinks.
Captain Cullen was right about one thing.
What was that, sir?
Tony can make any occasion extra special.
Agreed.
Here you are, Captain, Commander.
I thank you, Tony.
You're welcome, Captain. I hope you are both enjoying yourself. I do have other matters to attend to. Good night.
Have a good night, Tony.
Good night, Tony.
A toast, if you don't mind, Commander. To Captain Cullen. May you find the rest in death that you were not able to find in life.
Eulage, Judge.
Okay, I think my Klingon's a little rusty. What was that you said in Federation Standard?
The closest translation would be, may your blood scream.
Nice. You know, it's interesting. You can know everything there is in someone's personnel file, and yet, you don't really know the person. Like, for you, example. I know about the different ships where you've served, and how you did at the academy, but it doesn't really tell me anything about you.
Was there something in particular missing from my file, Captain?
Actually, there is. And I thought it was a pretty important detail. So, if you don't mind, I would like to ask you something.
Proceed.
I have served with several Klingon officers in Starfleet. Each of them had some sort of emblem for their Klingon house on their uniform. However, I notice you don't have a house insignia. Am I wrong?
Hmm.
No, you are not wrong, Captain. My father was part of a prestigious house when he was younger. He was around the same age as the heir to the house. One day, the heir raped one of the housemaids who was in her 20s. He threatened to kill her if she told his father or anyone else. Eventually, she did come forward to the boy's father and told him what happened. The heir denied involvement and tried to shift the blame to my father. Since he had always served the house with honor, the father believed my father and sent his son away to regain his honor. The young woman left the house quietly to go work on another colony. After a long time, the heir returned home with his honor restored and a grudge against my father, though he pretended all was forgiven at the time. Sometime later, the leader of the house died mysteriously and his son took control. The first thing he did was challenge my father to a duel, the damage to his honor. When my father refused to fight him, he had my father's honor stripped and expelled him from their service. Being a Klingon without honor made him untouchable to the other houses. One day, he met the young woman who had been dismissed, and she thanked him for what he had done to protect her. He explained how the house had changed. She told him that it didn't matter to her because he had sacrificed his honor for her. They fell in love, and 30 weeks later, I fought my way into the world. Since there was nothing left for them in the Empire, they left for the Federation. They found a home on Jepori too. My father became a laborer and worked hard to support his family. At night, he would tell me stories of Kronos and the Empire. We would make our prayers to Kales, but he would never talk about why we left the Empire or his honor. Then one day, when I was 12 years old, my mother and I heard a great commotion coming from town. It was about the time my father would come home for the evening meal, but he hadn't arrived yet. We went out to see what was happening and found my father fighting with three Klingon warriors, each wearing the crest of the house he had given his honor to protect. He easily handled the first two warriors by killing the first and knocking out the second. The battle grew intense when it was just him and the third warrior. Despite being exhausted from working all day and defeating two opponents, my father was holding his own. My mother would always tell me she had never seen a warrior look half as graceful with a batleth as my father. The two of them danced around the town square locked in mortal combat. People had cleared out of the way to limit the collateral damage. For 15 minutes they raged on, and it seemed the end was near. My father had taken the upper hand, disarming his opponent. He offered him a chance to live, but the warrior dropped to his knees and shouted out, "Tad Luke Mech, Kak Jazvam!" Since it was clear he wasn't going to be able to negotiate with them, my father took his batleth and began the final death blow. At the high point of his swing, the second warrior whom he thought he had killed stabbed him in the back with a dak-ta, and one of the men he was fighting slashed him from neck to abdomen with his batleth. I wanted to scream for my father, but my mother pulled me away and kept me silent so they would not come after us. After the two of them and their dead companion beamed back to their ship, we ran to my father to see what could be done. It was obvious his wounds were fatal. He had just enough strength left to tell my mother she would always be his Lady Lucara, and he would wait for her in Stovugol. She called him her Kales, the Unforgettable, and said she would see him again. He told me I was the greatest honor of his life. And then he died. My mother fell apart because my dad was the greatest love of her life. She was inconsolable. I went to his body, held open his eyes, and screamed out a warning to the dead my father was on his way. A month later, I reached my age of ascension. In honor of my father, I went through the ritual and pleased my mother. But privately, I vowed I would not be a warrior for the Empire. I would claim no house. Any honor I earned would be mine and mine alone. And no cowardly Petra would stop me from regaining what was taken from my father.
Wow. That was quite a tale. Just to give me peace of mind, you're not planning on going to war with the Empire anytime soon, are you?
Perhaps one day, but not today.
Okay, that's good to know. If your plans change, please give me at least 2 weeks' notice in advance.
Aye, sir.
Cast for this episode in order of appearance: Melody Gibson as Lieutenant Mesha, Jeff Welch as Captain Nick Moore, Patty Knox as Commander Chirega Doth, Mark Douglas S. as Lieutenant Commander Prowl Vec, Rob Harrower as Commander Strawn, Gareth Murden as Dr. Pemeth Narlin, Clayton Warden as Lieutenant Commander Yuri Jokoff, Mira Fay as Lieutenant J.M. Mia Culp, Clayton Warden as Lieutenant Gazik, Stephanie Knox as Lieutenant Tavell, Clay Duggar as Admiral Michael Kilgallen, Heather Walker as Lieutenant Kaylee Fry, Abby Welch as Lieutenant Kashgari, Faye Holliday as Dr. Elizabeth Flint, Gareth Boley as Tony. Additional credits available at starshipresilience.com. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe on your podcasting app so you get every new episode when it comes out. Also, rate and review Starship Resilience to help make it easier for others to find us. You can connect with other fans of the show by searching Starship Resilience on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Tune in next month for Episode 3, A Lesson in Concealment. This has been a Necessary Trouble production. Star Trek and all related marks, logos, characters are solely owned by CBS Studios, Inc. Necessary Trouble Productions, StarshipResilience.com, the promotion thereof, and this fan production is not endorsed by, sponsored by, nor affiliated with CBS, Paramount Pictures, or any other Star Trek franchise, and is a non-commercial fan-made audio drama intended for recreational use. No commercial exhibition or distribution is permitted.